Comics in Motion is proud to be sponsored by Renovations Press, home of the world-renowned Tracksuit Man, the story about traveling to which we can all relate, and something we've all missed this last year. Renovations Press continues to make the decades-long quest to bring quality independent comics to the masses, with three comics each year featuring the supergroup slash government experiment gone wrong, Section 12. Click the link in the show notes for more information about how you can buy some high-quality independent comics. And stay tuned, because each time a new issue comes out in 2021, Comics in Motion listeners will be eligible to win free copies of Section 12. Click that link, check out Renovations Press, support them on Patreon. You'll be happy you did. What started as just an appearance on Indie Comics Spotlight has turned into an excellent partnership between Comics in Motion and Renovations Press. We look forward to bringing you some amazing content.
Welcome to another episode of What's the Topic? I'm your host, Matt, better known as Jasper Reviews, and with me always is my co-host, Luke.
How's it going?
Let's hope this works, because this is a podcast being filmed over Skype, and Luke is not great with technology, so it's definitely going to cock up at least
a few times.
Yes, well, we spent 20 minutes trying to get it ready. To us completely abandoning all our ideas, but let's see, because I am hopefully I've been smart, and it will sound like we're just in the same room together having a lovely time.
Let's hope.
Yes. So today's episode will be talking mostly about WandaVision, which came out yesterday. We're recording this on Saturday,
and we haven't even spoken about it yet, have we?
Yeah, so we're actually going in very blind, because I don't even know how you feel about the
show. I have no idea how you feel about it either. I'm actually quite intrigued to know what you think.
So what we'll do, we'll go through some of the news. Obviously, this is our first podcast of 2021, so we missed out on a lot. But I'm really only going to go through stuff that came out in the last week, because I can't be asked to look back.
Don't blame me.
So let's talk about one of the first things I was quite interested in. It's been rumoured Chris Evans is going to return as Captain America in future projects.
Big news.
Yeah, but he's downplayed the rumours, because he said, well, that's news to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, do you want to see him come back?
I'd love to see Cap back, but I mean, it's a bit early, isn't it? I mean, fucking hell, we only got Endgame like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I mean, he, that's the thing. It's like, there are other characters. His story's done. There's not much to say. It's something 10 years down the line, then yeah, I'd be very interested. But right now, why not just focus on
the ending? I thought of his ending in Endgame was so perfect. I feel like it would be foolish to bring him back soon.
I think Captain America's and Iron Man's endings were perfect.
Agreed.
They were exactly what was for the character. I thought he was going to die in it, Captain America, but I think his ending is better than
I was convinced. I mean, we're gonna rehash old things, but that incredible visual of where he's just standing there facing off against the army by himself, just chills. But I thought that was his end. I thought that was going to be his hero's end. Like, oh man, it was. Do you know what? Now I think back on it, there's no debate. It was perfect. They shouldn't rehash it. No way.
Oh yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. No, it's a very good ending, and yeah, like we say, there's nothing left to tell for him. Why not focus on other characters? You have to remember, like at the start of the MCU, people like him, Chris Hemsworth, they weren't big stars, and they made them into big stars. So now it's time for someone new.
Exactly.
So yeah, but he's also downplayed the rumors. I don't think he's overly interested.
I think it's going to happen. I genuinely think it's going to happen. I think that I can't remember who reported it originally, and now a few other places have reported it. I think they're really, really big, reliable sources, aren't they?
Yeah.
Hasn't Variety reported this, right? I'm sure.
I think so. It was someone quite big. But, well, Chris Evans has downplayed it, so I don't know. Who bloody well knows?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Although, like I said, I don't really want to see it. If he's back, I'm not going to moan about it. Like, I'm sure they've got a cool idea to bring him back.
Yeah, I'd imagine Kevin Feige's one for, he always says he'll only do it if the idea is right.
What if we just see old man Captain America?
You really want to see a 100-year-old Captain America knocking about?
I would love to see it, mate. I'd love to see him wield the shield again and the suit as like an older man. It would be incredible.
He's like 100 and something, though. Why do you want to see that?
I don't know, mate. I just like to see weird things, mate. I don't know.
If you want a gritty R-rated Pinocchio, so...
Pinocchio, yeah, I was going to say. I'm not really the person to ask my opinion on the matter, really, am I? Let's be honest. Yeah.
moving on. The Kevin Feige has confirmed the Deadpool 3 will be R-rated within the MCU. And so, I thought you would be very happy with that news.
Very happy, but also slightly concerned, if I'm being honest with you. I don't know how it's going to work. We've had this conversation before, haven't we? But I'm really not sure how it's going to quite work.
Yeah, but the thing is about Deadpool, he isn't really part of a franchise. He doesn't need to be part. He's his own thing. So you can say he's MCU, but he doesn't have to adhere to the rules of where he is because he's his own thing. He's very much, you know, he's not going to be teaming up in an Avengers film anytime soon, is he?
Of course not, but I always like, you know... Imagine if he appears in another MCU film and just makes like a very, very small cameo. I don't know, say for instance like Spider-Man 4 or something, I don't know, I'm just literally speculating. Then some little kid is going to be like, oh, who's that character? And then Deadpool 3 comes out and it's just the most graphic, fucking violent, most disgusting movie. Like,
I think the amount of a cameo you'll see from Deadpool in Spider-Man or Avengers will be similar to Wolverine in First Class.
Oh, seriously? You reckon it's
you know
like
when
that?
You yeah. I think that worked perfect for him. That Man, you know I... these films get like one F-bomb, so they'll bring Deadpool in to do his one little joke, and there you go. That's kind of it.
I feel like he would be perfect in a Spider-Man movie. I'd love to see him just in a Spider-Man film.
Yeah, I can imagine him doing that down the line. But then, is it R-rated? Is it?
Well, that's
PG-13?
The thing, isn't it? Like. But you know what the most exciting thing about this is? Although, obviously, I'm obviously very excited to see Deadpool again, it then makes me think that there is a very strong possibility that Mahershala Ali's Blade film is going to be R-rated as well.
Yeah, it could be.
That excites me. Yeah.
We've not heard much about that, actually, lately, have we?
It's not coming out, I think, till 2022, 2023, so we're still a few years.
They said it's not going to be part of Phase 4, is it?
Yeah, I think Phase 5.
That's interesting with him as well, because he is Cottonmouth and now he is Blade, so doesn't that do something to the continuity?
Well, I mean, I think it's they're not going to be including Luke Cage in the Marvel continuity, either the MCU continuity yet, right?
But then there's all these rumours surrounding Daredevil's return.
Yeah. But will people complain if they just bring Daredevil into it and they just forget about everything else that happened in the Defenders series?
Yeah. I understand that they can pick and choose what they want.
A big question as well I have to ask you, actually, which I was curious about to see your take on it, is what do we now do with the whole X-Men situation?
How do you mean?
Well, you're bringing Deadpool into the MCU.
Mm.
What about the X-Men? Like, we know the X-Mansion, Xavier's school, is part of Deadpool world. What does that mean for the MCU? Does that mean Xavier's school is there now?
I guess because that's the thing as well is... the continuity Deadpool exists in never really matters because he's so meta and he references everything around him. I wonder when they will bring in the X-Men. And like we said, would it be a young or old Charles?
I'm just getting a little bit confused with regards to how they're going to go about the continuity, because I'm staring right now at my Marvel Blu-rays. I've got my, like, 22, 23, like, all in order. Do I now have to slip Deadpool in there? Where am I putting Deadpool? Is Deadpool 1 and 2 part? I'm getting quite, like, irritated about the idea of I don't know where to put them in my collection. Like,
well, yeah, but that's... I guess that is always kind of the thing, is... What the character he is, and I think Kevin Feige understands that, it just literally does not matter, and that's something... Even though the MCU has been so big on keeping their continuity together, I think they're willing to let it slide for this one character. But yeah, I'm interested to see it. Now that it's rated R, I'm much more interested in Deadpool 3 to see what they're going to do with it.
There was a big idea at one point, wasn't there, about Deadpool kills the MCU and it being like a one-off thing. You hear about that?
Yes, I've just read the comic, actually. I read the comic the other day.
I've obviously never read it. How is it? Was it good?
Yeah, it's all right. It's a very short comic. It's only like 90 pages long. Essentially, Deadpool gets taken to a psychiatric ward by Professor X. where they begin he doesn't realize the lead therapist is actually Psycho Man, who or Dr. Psycho, whatever his name is,
Psycho Man, and
yeah, well, it's the same thing, isn't it? It's basically
Yeah.
And then from there he tortures him, and basically Deadpool then only hears the bad voice in his head, and he goes around killing everyone. He kills the Watcher, kills Thor, kills Captain America, kills all the Fantastic Four, kills all the X-Men. It's a bit gruesome, and there's not a load of humor in it, because he's only hearing the bad voice.
That's definitely
in his
not
head.
Gonna happen then.
Yeah, so I thought it was gonna be quite humorous, like, you know, it was gonna be quite a satirical take on it all, but it wasn't. It wasn't massively a satirical take on like all the Marvel characters. And it was a little bit too sort of brutal.
Okay.
So that's my two cents on the
cool.
Next bit of news is the rumor is Michael B. Jordan's going to return as Killmonger in Black Panther 2.
Okay.
Because obviously Chadwick Boseman has sadly passed away, so there's all this talk now on where you go now with Black Panther. Who directed it again? What's his name?
Oh God! He directed Creed as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
Ryan Coogler.
That's it, Ryan Coogler. Yeah, he's written it. He says he's now, you know, made his changes to the script, so he's had to essentially had to rewrite most of it. I'd imagine he's had to rewrite basically 80%. So he says he's done all that, but the rumor is Killmonger can return, and I mean, you could bring him back, I guess.
You know. I'm usually against this idea, but for once, I would quite like to see a redeemable arc by the end of this film, he can take on the Black Panther mantle, because I think he'd be an awesome Black Panther.
I think, fantastic Black Panther. Yeah. Fantastic Black Panther. And you can bring him back, because technically, we didn't see him die.
Mm-hmm.
He just slumped over. And it just seems vibranium can do anything. So you can just say we locked him up, gave him some vibranium, and off he went.
Oh, it's easy, but they can easily, there'll be no one can like have a go saying that he's not dead. Like, you can bring back so many different characters, he can come back. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. He said he wanted his burial at sea. We never saw that, so I say it's quite easy to take him back.
Is that also another opportunity to bring in Namor?
Yes, I reckon Namor's going to be in this, 100%.
I think he's definitely going to play a part in either this phase or next phase, particularly when you think the links with Wakanda, you think about the links of the Fantastic Four. I think it's inevitable that he is going to be coming into it at some point soon.
Yeah, I definitely think Namor will be in it very soon. I was always impressed you saw that reference to him in Endgame, and you saw it immediately.
I did. I think I nudged you.
Yeah.
It's cool though. I love that, the subtlety, but yet you know what they're referring to. Like, it's awesome. I love that. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer for Cherry?
Haven't seen it yet. I meant to watch it this morning, but I never got around to it in the end.
See, when it first got announced that he was playing an army officer who has a drug addiction and starts robbing banks, I was kind of interested in it. I watched the trailer late last night, and I can't say it massively grabbed me. It's going to be on Apple TV.
Okay.
Something I don't have a subscription for, and I won't be getting a subscription for it for this.
Absolutely.
But it's directed by the Russo brothers, though.
I know. Sorry, go on, mate, go on.
No. I was just going to say, that's where I'm then kind of like, could this be good? But the Russos, for everyone that loves the Russos, their track record of films isn't that great outside the MCU.
To be honest with you, I've never actually watched any film they've done outside of the MCU. I watched that film with Hemsworth in last year, but I think that was their studio as opposed to them writing it or anything.
Yeah, see,
you know,
here's the films they've been involved in, they're outside the MCU. So they did You, Me and Dupree back in 2006.
Bloody hell.
They directed that. Joe Russo wrote Extraction and they produced it.
thought that was an okay film. I thought it was an okay film.
Yeah, apparently it's just okay.
Have you not seen it?
No, I've never seen it.
I'd recommend you watch it. The fight choreography in it is awesome. The plot lacks, but the fighting and stuff, it, yeah,
well,
it's cool.
Apparently it's like the most successful Netflix film ever, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's massive. Yeah.
And then they produced 21 Bridges, which starred Chadwick Boseman, which apparently isn't very good either.
Okay.
So, they've been making a lot of films with MCU people, though.
Very true. But yeah. The saving grace is they also made The Winter Soldier, which is probably the greatest MCU film out there. Yeah. I love that movie. I love that film. So much.
Yeah, I that's one of my favourite, maybe my favourite MCU film.
But yeah, like you said, I am... Sorry, go on, mate.
No, keep going.
No, I was just literally just going to say, but yeah, you're right, they haven't got a great track record. Which is a shame, because you see the stuff they do in Marvel Universe, and it makes no sense as to why they can't make great films outside of the MCU.
Yeah, it just seems, yeah, anything original, they struggle with.
Yeah.
Original filmmaking. Yep. But it seemed like he was breaking the fourth wall in the Cherry trailer, which was a little bit interesting. He was talking directly to the camera near the end. So, I don't know. I wasn't massively interested in it. I won't be paying for an Apple TV subscription for it.
No chance.
So.
No chance.
Another bit of interesting news is rumours are now swirling that Daredevil's going to return in She-Hulk and Spider-Man 3. Apparently, Charlie Cox has filmed these scenes all for Spider-Man 3 now.
Don't believe it.
I do believe it.
I want to believe it, mate. You know I want to see this, but I'll believe it when I see it.
We'll see who's right. I'm saying he's going to be in it. And you'll say, oh, hold on. Daredevil Charlie Cox spotted on the set of Spider-Man 3. Oh, reportedly.
Nah, I don't believe it.
I think it fits perfectly. If now Peter Parker's got to go represent himself in court, him and Aunt May don't have a lot of money, even though they do have Tony Stark's technology.
Yeah,
who represents for free? Matt Murdock.
I think he's
going to be in it. I think they want that. I think that show, at the end of the day, that show was too successful for the MCU to never return to those characters. It was too good, too successful. They'll return to them. Someone like Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, people aren't crying out for that. But this was too successful. I think he'll be in it. She-Hulk makes sense, because obviously She-Hulk is a lawyer as well.
I was just about to say, she is a lawyer, isn't she? Yeah.
She's a lawyer, okay. Yeah.
But that isn't this... sense. Haven't I heard rumours that this is based, like, pre... This isn't based now, is it? The She-Hulk series is based before or something, isn't it? Like... Back in like the early 2008 time when Iron Man and Hulk started, right? Have you heard this?
No, I've not heard that.
I don't know if I've just completely made that up, but I'm almost certain that there's a continuity thing with regards to She-Hulk. It's not set now.
Really?
I think so. I can't remember where
that
I read that.
That is interesting. Oh, well. That will be interesting then.
Have you seen anything on it? Are you reading anything on it now?
Yeah, I'm having a little look, too, but just a quick Google, just a quick goggle.
I've probably just completely made up, to be honest with you, but I'm almost certain I've heard it somewhere.
That would be odd. That would be odd if they based it, like, back in time. That would be strange.
Yeah.
So I'll be very, very interested to see if that is what happens, but you never know, I guess. Yeah. You never know at all.
Yeah.
I am quite looking forward to that She-Hulk series. I want to see more of Mark Ruffalo. I want to see more of the Hulk, and he's going to be in... going to be in this, so I'm very interested in that series.
I need to hear more about the show before I can get overly excited for it, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, I mean, I doubt they've even started filming it, have they?
No, I doubt it.
It's not out till next year.
She-Hulk's not a character which I've ever really I know much about, or I ever used to, like, you know.
No, I don't know much about her either. She can break the fourth wall.
Well,
I know that much.
It's all right, mate. Fingers crossed it's alright. Say that again, sorry.
Oh, we've frozen up. Sorry, we froze up.
Sorry,
there.
I can't hear.
I really hope I really hope our recordings, our set recordings work. I said all I know about She-Hulk is that she can break the fourth wall.
Okay, cool. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, oh, I look, know that much.
Let's hope it's good, mate. Let's hope it's good. I'm actually just going to quickly whack you off my Wi-Fi and put you onto my 4G, and hopefully the connection will be slightly better. And hopefully we won't have a interference.
Well, it'd take us off video. Well, that's a shame.
Hold on. Can you hear me or see me?
I can't see you, but I can hear you.
I've got my video on for some reason. Like, I can see myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I've had that before. Let's move on.
Okay, fuck it. You don't need to see me anyway. Yeah. Carry on. Carry on.
Last bit of news. Harry Lennox has confirmed he will be revealed as Martian Manhunter in the Snyder Cut.
Yep, I read this the other day as well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I said at the start, I didn't believe it, that he was really the Martian Manhunter. But apparently they've always had this, you know, in the works, so we'll see, I guess. Obviously,
how
gonna
many
happen.
Characters are going to be in this? Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and now they've got the Joker in, and...
It's so convoluted, isn't it?
It's going to be a clusterfuck.
Do you reckon it will be?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to hear any more news about this. I'm done. Like, I'm honestly, I'm finished with all this stuff. I just want to see it. I can't be arsed with this anymore.
Well, it's coming out in March.
March? I didn't know that.
Very soon, so... About six to eight weeks, it'll be out.
Oh, awesome. We still don't know how we're going to bloody be able to watch it, though. That's a problem.
Well, I have downloaded a VPN.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and see if I can get it through that.
Can I watch it around your house, please?
Of course you can, if we obey social distancing.
Of course.
But I've kitted myself out. I've got a VPN. I've got a HDMI USB cable, so I can plug the laptop into the TV. Off we go.
Excellent. Fair play. That's another thing, actually, I was going to ask you, speaking about the whole HBO Max situation. Have you watched Wonder Woman yet?
I have not. Have you?
Nope, I haven't.
No, because I then went on Virgin Movies, which is what we get here, and they're offering it. So I was like, oh, great, I'll watch that. It was £17.
Yeah.
I'm not paying £17 for this.
It's the same on PlayStation Store as well, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm really not that interested at the moment. I've not heard good things at all.
60% it's got on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. That's not the worst in the world, but I wasn't a big fan of the first film, as you know, and everyone seemed to bumlick that movie with passion. So if this isn't getting good response, I know I'm going to hate it. I know I'm going to hate every second of it.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I'm not massively into the first one. This one's apparently not as good. Apparently, it's like a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
There's so many ideas being thrown out. So, I thought for £17, I can just buy the Blu-ray.
Very true.
So why am I paying to rent it for 2 days?
Yep.
So, yeah, I'll have to see if I can find any other ways of getting.
When you find a cheaper way, I want to come round again and watch that because I'm not paying for it. So.
Oh, lovely. Okay, fantastic. Okay, so that's all the news. But the best thing is, yes, you've got your hand up as if we're in a classroom.
Oh, you can actually see me. I didn't realise you could see me.
I can see you.
Oh, excellent.
You.
Oh, amazing. Incredible. What I was going to say was I've got one more piece of news. I don't know if you heard. I think this broke yesterday.
I don't know if we can allow you to do the news segment.
Just one news.
I'll allow this one.
I don't know if you've read this. They've apparently cast Ethan Hawke in the new Moon Knight show.
Yes, I heard this. But so who's he going to be?
The villain, apparently.
But it's not been confirmed yet Oscar Isaac is going to be in the show, is it?
I think it's all but confirmed that he is going to play Moon Knight.
Yeah. But it's not. No official announcement has been made, but it's pretty much...
I don't think Marvel haven't come out and announced it, no. But, like, all of the top, you know, like, news outlets have pretty much confirmed it.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. Ethan Hawke up against Oscar Isaac. That's quite cool.
I like Ethan Hawke. He's a very good actor. He's kind of like a Sam Rockwell, always gone under the radar, but always does solid, solid work.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'd be very interested. I don't know much about Moon Knight. So, yeah.
The impression I get is he's kind of like the MCU's Batman, if that makes any sense.
Well, Daredevil was MCU's Batman.
Of course. but I've heard like loads, apparently he's a much darker character. A much, yeah. much darker character. And he's got split personalities and stuff. I think it all depends on the, there's different, obviously, renditions of the character, but I think he might have a split personality.
Yeah.
Which is quite cool. So yeah, should be cool.
Very exciting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to all these Disney Plus series. It'll be finally worth it, the bloody subscription I paid for this show.
Honest to God. Honest to God. When I didn't realise that they were releasing WandaVision one after another as well. Obviously, we got the first two. And I having to wait a week for shows is really, really fucking irritating when you've got nothing else on that platform to watch.
Yes, definitely.
So irritating.
So, yeah, that's all the news. But before we continue, it's the return of my favourite segment, the Ray Fisher news.
Oh,
because he's at it again. Have you seen he's at it again?
I haven't seen. Please enlighten me, Matt.
Well, he released a statement on Twitter.
Yep.
It's about 2 pages long. I read it all.
Yeah.
I love Ray Fisher news. This is getting me through this lockdown. All the pandemic, I enjoy any Ray Fisher news that comes my way, and I enjoy it even more because I know you hate every second of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
So he's now put out, so that all the rumors were circulating that he's been taken off the Flash. He was going to be in the Flash.
Yeah.
And he then came out, said no, nothing's definite yet. Then about a week later, he'd done a big statement, 2-page statement, basically slamming Walter Hamada, who's quite high up. I mean, he's not quite the CEO, but he's above Jeff Johns and all these people.
I think he took over for Jeff. I think Jeff Johns was in control at one point, and I think he came in and took over from Jeff Johns' position, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Essentially, he called him an enabler, basically said Jeff Johns and Joss Whedon have been thrown off future projects, but basically he's also joined the chopping line. He's been thrown off as well. So he then went on to accuse people of racism, things like that, said people have spoken up and well done to all of them. But basically he will now not be in the Flash. He's now off there. So it looks like his time as Cyborg has come to an end. But then also the Warner Media chair and CEO and Sarnoff then came out and essentially said, you know, Walter Hamada, we believe in him. He didn't interfere in this investigation, like it's being said. They've basically come out and backed him.
Okay.
And said, no, he's a good bloke. And he's going to help build DC Films and the DC Multiverse, all this. He's going to be doing it again. So essentially this, it looks like this may be coming to some sort of end.
Thank God.
But, well, no, I'm really disappointed.
Yeah, I'm sure. Sweet sure
yeah.
It means we don't have something to talk about in the podcast. Like, bloody hell.
This segment is what keeps this podcast alive. The Ray Fisher segment. It's every 2 or so weeks, something brilliant happens. But it seems to me, because the fans now, it seems to be split 50-50. People who are supporting him and people who are against him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not on either side, but I think it's very telling that in this era of when, you know, if you speak up about something like this, you know, with like Me Too movements and stuff like that, companies are very quick on the chopping line of their managers.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Pixar, they got rid of a lot of people because of, you know, sexual harassment stuff, and like rightly so. But it seems very odd that Warner Brothers are sticking by their, you know, one of their top managers.
Yeah.
When this could be, you know, really bad PR wise, but it doesn't seem to be hurting them.
Well, they seem to do it quite often. They did it with Thingy as well, didn't they? The guy that plays the Flash. What's his name?
Ezra Miller.
Yeah, they did the same thing with Ezra Miller. In fact, they never even came out and made a comment about it, did they? They just didn't.
Yeah,
say
never
a word.
Spoke about
it,
which was that was very odd. I'm not quite sure what the hell happened there. Maybe he had some reasonable explanation, so they kind of left it. But for them to not sack this Walter Hamada says to me that perhaps they feel, you know, this investigation was all legit, you know.
Yeah.
Ray Fisher's complaints are maybe unfounded at times. because I just feel the PR against them, if that he was a racist, as they say, would just be so detrimental. But then again, they're probably just seeing out there that people aren't really backing Ray Fisher.
Yeah.
You know, I look at his Twitter and it's not really been shared much, you know, his story.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I think one of the problems with regards to Ray Fisher is that he's not a very well-known guy. If this was someone like Ben Affleck coming out there and saying this about Hamada, this would be a completely different story, if that makes any sense.
He had Jason Momoa back him, but that was about it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's to say you're backing someone with a tweet, you know, I'm backing you, that's not really backing, is it? Let's be honest. Like,
that does nothing. So.
Like, the guy, I think he's going to... This is all going to... You know, I don't mean to be rude about the guy, but I get the impression that this is kind of the end of his career.
It's definitely the end of his career at Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I can say that as well. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame, man, because he's not...
Yeah, he was a good cyborg.
Yeah, he was a good cyborg. And like we spoke about before, he was good in True Detective Season 3 as well, the part he had in it. And it's a shame for the guy, but like, I'm just so bored of this now, mate. Like, I just want this to end. I can't be asked to listen to all this shit anymore, if I'm being honest with you. I'm not going to...
Well, there's going to be plenty more, don't you worry.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I think what we'll do, once this all blows over... I'll create a new segment to follow his career and I'll update you on everything he does week to week I'm interested. Is Ray Fisher back on top? Or is he back on the drop?
Oh, God, here we go.
Right. Well, with that lovely exchange about the Ray Fisher segment, let's move on to WandaVision. So, I think the best way to tackle this, because, Luke, what I'm going to do today is... I'm going to make a video out of our thoughts on WandaVision because it's going to be the sweet, sweet algorithm will enjoy it. So let's do like a little 10-minute sum up of what we thought, and then we'll try and talk about any positives, negatives. Yeah,
break it down a little bit. There's a few things.
Break it down from there.
Yeah, there's a couple of things overall, I want to break down as well. So yeah.
So let me give you some stats first of all.
Cool.
Because what we got to do is we got to stretch this out to 10 minutes because that's the sweet spot of when a video does well. Okay, so... WandaVision came out. It's going to be 9 episodes long. They released 2 episodes yesterday, January 14th. Do you know what they stand at on Rotten Tomatoes?
I have no idea. Enlighten me, Matt.
97% based on 126 reviews.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which I think is incredible because how the hell can you judge this show after 2 episodes? Because I don't know what the hell just happened. In all honesty,
I'm not gonna lie. I'm very similar in your opinion, mate. I'm not too sure what I watched, if I'm being honest with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When the episode 2 credits rolled, the opening credits, and they finished, I turned to my girlfriend and said, "What the fuck was that?" not in a bad way or anything. You know, that's not me saying, "Oh, this is bad because of this," but I can't judge it because I don't understand what the hell I don't understand really what's going on. So why don't you give me a little summary of what you thought of the first 2 episodes of WandaVision?
I don't know. I really don't know. I enjoyed it.
Oh.
Sorry, this isn't going to last for 10 minutes, mate.
Well, we'll end that there.
Yeah. No, honestly, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Well, no, that's a lie. I didn't really enjoy it. I thought it was good. I thought it was very different. I thought it was a very, very, very dangerous move to take, to move into the direction they've done. But at the same time, I can't lie. I quite liked it. I thought it was fresh. I honestly don't know, if I'm being honest with you, mate. It's so different. I can't wait to see how this is going to unfold. I can't really give a massive opinion on the show yet because I need to see where it's going, but from what I saw, I thought it was good. When it started and I saw the vibe they were going for, and obviously they were going for this like old school sitcom vibe, I really, really liked it. I had a massive, massive grin on my face. If I'm being honest with you, after about 5 minutes of the second episode, I kind of thought this novelty is going to wear off very quickly with me unless something changes. But yeah, all in all, I can't lie, I did quite enjoy it, and I thought it was a very brave move from the MCU to do what they've done here. Yeah.
I think visually it looked incredible.
Agreed.
I thought it looked so amazing.
Yeah.
What they went for, and I enjoyed the sitcom stuff. I enjoyed the laugh track. I enjoyed all of that stuff.
As did I. Yeah.
I actually even enjoyed it when it was like an old fashioned sitcom.
Yeah.
And the, you know, those stupid silly little jokes they do. I thought Paul Bettany, I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was. I thought they were both incredible. If I'm being honest, they were both great. They both work so well together.
Yeah, they've got a lot of chemistry. I definitely thought Paul Bettany would stand out. Elizabeth Olsen was also very good as Wanda.
Yeah.
I liked the old style ads. Did you notice the one for watches was Hydra watches? And it was Strucker watches.
Yeah,
I saw Strucker that. Was the bad guy. Start of Age of Ultron, wasn't he? Baron Wolfgang von Strucker.
He was the one who experimented on Wanda and Quicksilver, wasn't he?
Yes, he was the ones who experimented on
that's
them.
A very, very good that is very cool. I like that. Very cool Easter egg.
I think the first two episodes, judging them, it's just setting the scene and setting the vibe, which I appreciated a lot, but I imagine the next 3 to 4 is where we're going to see the real plot unfold.
Of course.
Because Kat Dennings, who plays Darcy Lewis in the 4 films, she's a main character in this. But, you know, she hasn't been in the first two. Same with Randall Park, who was the FBI agent in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Those two are main characters.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, they're main characters in this, but they haven't been in the first two episodes.
I didn't know that. Isn't she a scientist in 4, right?
Yeah, she was... Yeah, she was in both 4 films. In For the Dark World, it was like she was the intern to Natalie Portman, but she also had an intern, and that was the joke. She was the comic relief. There was like everyone was a comic relief in For the fucking Dark World.
Let's not talk about that film. That's a couple of phases ago. Let's not bring up that film.
Yeah.
I know. Obviously, we spoke about the whole Baron von Strucker sort of stuff, but do you think that Hydra play a part in this show in any way?
I think they do. I think, yeah, that was a very deliberate Easter egg to put it within the first two episodes.
I agree.
Obviously, there's someone... Do you think she's created this universe for herself?
Okay, so I have a theory.
Here we go.
I have a theory. Okay, so did you see all the stuff in the set? Obviously, you saw it. You watched the show. We know when they're having that meeting, the women are all sitting there and they're talking about planning that, you know, they're talking about planning the talent show or whatever. And that blonde woman was in charge. Did you hear all the references? I think the word devil was brought up about 4 times.
Oh, was it?
Did you hear about it? Did you pay attention to that in any way?
No, what I took from it is when they all said for the children and they all said it together.
Okay.
Then they did it again and I said... That's weird.
Okay, so listen to this. Listen to my theory.
Oh, okay? I'm listening.
So, this whole devil reference could be a reference to Mephisto, who is essentially the ruler of, like, the Hell Realm in, like, the Marvel Universe, okay? Mm. And also, funnily enough, if you watch the Loki trailer, there is a stained glass window in the trailer with a devil on it, once again, could be a reference to Mephisto, okay? So, basically, in the comics, in the comic run... Wanda becomes pregnant, as she does at the end of the second episode of this, okay? And she's pregnant with the shards of Mephisto's soul, okay? When Wanda eventually has her kids, Mephisto wants his shards back. He takes them back, makes Wanda go insane, and then leads into the House of M storyline, where she eventually screams, "No more mutants." So this whole thing with Mephisto and her being pregnant, I think, play a very, very pivotal role in the show and the next phase of the MCU. 100%.
Definitely could be right. But who's watching them?
Well, that's
because at the end of the first one, someone was watching.
Well, this again is another thing I noticed as well. And I had a little look up, and there was a logo which I saw as well. And apparently, the logo is for a thing called Sword. Have you ever heard of Sword before?
Yes.
Yeah, so it stands for Sentient Weapons Observation Response Division, which is essentially like a space version of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm. So I think they're trying to get her out of whatever she's in, if that makes sense. So, you know, like the whole thing, who's done this to you? What's that? I think the people watching and observing and trying to help her are this S.H.I.E.L.D., are this S.W.O.R.D. Division, if that makes any sense.
definitely. Yeah. So do you think she hasn't created this universe herself?
I think it's such a tough one. I think she may have created this, and the reason that I say that is, like I was saying before about in the House of M storyline, where she says no more mutants, blah blah blah, and then she then obviously does what she does in the House of M. At the end of the second episode, when she sees the guy with the the beekeeper come out of the the thing, she says no, and then as a result manages to change the reality, doesn't she? She says no, and then instantly that outcome changes. So I think she is the one who's in control of these realities, if that makes sense.
Yeah. She's definitely in control. She was able to reverse time.
Yeah. But then again, I think that Mephisto is involved, and he is playing he's playing a part in this as well. But obviously we don't know. We're only two episodes in. Like, this is all speculation, but that's the impression I get from what I've seen.
Hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, that was very in depth.
No, that's exactly what we need on this podcast. There's not enough in-depth analysis.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, there's something in where Vision works. There's something in that.
Yeah.
Because he keeps saying, what do we do? And no one's answering him what they actually do. There's something going on there.
Well, I don't even believe that Vision's alive. I think he's dead, and this is all in, she's all made this up.
Yes, I think Vision is dead.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's made this up.
Yeah.
Because this is set after Endgame.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And of course, this ties directly into Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, exactly, of which Elizabeth Olsen is going to be a part of, but not Paul Bettany.
Yeah, which once again makes me think that Mephisto plays a part, because having a devil, you know, a demon-like character in this, that's Sam Raimi all over, isn't it? He's going to direct the hell out of that.
I think it will end with her getting out of this reality, getting back into the real world, realizing maybe that this Mephisto is behind everything, and then Sam Raimi directing that character. It's a very Sam Raimi character to direct,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly. But no, I really enjoyed it, and I love the way we go from it's so my sort of thing with regards to when we have like this really, really happy, jolly, you've got the audience laughter, and then you get that 1 or 2 minute scene where in a way it introduces like those horror elements. Like, you had it when you heard the radio playing in the second episode, and then in the first episode that great scene when they're sitting at the dinner table and the guy starts choking and the wife is just laughing going stop, but it's not as if she's saying it to the husband, it's like she's looking at Wanda and saying stop to Wanda.
Tells him to help him.
Yeah,
and they weren't gonna help him.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's cool, like, there's it's cool. Mm. And you know that Marvel don't just do... everything Marvel do is done for a reason. So all of these little things at the moment which we're unsure of, everything is going to be answered come the end of this show, which is really cool. And I'm really, really looking forward to see where we go with it.
Yeah. Obviously, things will become more clear. I'm sure there's been clues everyone has missed in these first two. And, you know, over the course of the next few episodes, everything's going to, come so much more clearer for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. I appreciate it's about half hour long. I appreciate them putting two episodes out there, because I think it would have been quite frustrating to watch this episode. God, what the hell was going on? Then next week's episode was pretty much more of the same.
Yeah.
I assume that was very deliberate, and I like to think the next few episodes will introduce characters that are in the real world.
Yeah.
So we can actually see what is kind of going on, what these people are up to. I appreciate, because they were talking about releasing these all as one, all 9 episodes, bang, straight on Disney Plus.
Yep.
And they've essentially, what Kevin Feige said was, we saw how successful The Mandalorian was. I think it's the better choice to do it week by week, because it drums up interest, there's speculation.
What they saw was that if they release it all at once, it will get a binge watch, and then, you know, Disney Plus subscriptions will get dropped for the next few months. Until Falcon and Winter Soldier comes out.
For a business point of view, it's better to do it like this, because you're trending all the time, aren't you? They're going to trend now for 8 weeks.
Yeah, nice. No, so
while people discuss what happened, you know, this is, especially as it's like a mystery show.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's, you know, you're trying to solve a mystery. What's happening? It's, you know, there's going to be all these twists and turns in it, so why not release it week by week, same as The Mandalorian?
Yep.
Something like Cobra Kai, which is a very light-hearted comedy show, you might as well just release them all as one, but something like this,
yeah,
might as well just, yeah, week by week. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. I highly doubt there'll be a season two. I don't suppose that's what they're doing with this.
Nah, no way.
I think most of these Disney Plus shows are going to be one-off shows, except for maybe things like She-Hulk, Moon Knight, anything that was already an established character, like Loki, Falcon, Winter Soldier, this, it will all be one series.
Yeah, I agree. I take back what I said a few months ago, is that I don't think Kang is going to be involved in this show at all.
You just say Kang will be involved. Don't matter what it is.
I retract what I said. I don't think he's going to be involved in this. I think Mephisto is going to be the main villain. I think Kang still has a big part to play. Trust me to do a WandaVision podcast and then end up turning it into a Kang podcast. But
yeah.
but I feel like he's still going to be a big part in Phase 4 with the Loki series, yeah, and stuff. But I just feel like he will not play a part in any way in this series. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't think he will. He'll be in Ant-Man the Wasp.
Yeah.
I think this is, as it's been said, is directly tying into Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And, yeah, kind of go from there. They can't tie into every single MCU film to come, can they?
Totally.
In summary, first two episodes, yeah, I enjoyed it. Appreciate how different it is, and I think this was something I thought last night. It's so different, and I think Marvel are getting to the point now where they're saying, like, you're with us or you're not. So we're going for this now.
Agreed.
People are starting to get what's happening, get these, you know, out there storylines. Like, you know, I'm watching my girlfriend, and she's not a big Marvel fan, but she's understanding essentially what's happening. She gets it,
yeah,
to a point.
Definitely.
So
definitely.
They're really now saying, you're with us or not. But, you know, because I watched all the Avengers films lately, and you can see that up to once they get past Civil War, they don't care anymore. You're either with them. But, like, you can watch Avengers, you can watch Age of Ultron and Civil War as a trilogy.
Yeah.
And you don't have to watch any other films. You can get them easily. You can easily get them. It all makes sense.
100%.
But then when it gets to Infinity War, you're like, what? I don't understand now. Especially Endgame.
What did you think of Age of Ultron, watching it again?
Not great. Not as good.
I've only ever seen it twice. And I remember I watched it with you in the cinema and I hated it. Then I watched it a second time and I thought it was definitely much better than the first time I saw it, but I still didn't think it was any good.
Because when I first saw it, I didn't mind it. I thought it was okay, but seeing what's come with Civil War and Infinity War and Endgame,
yeah,
you know, now I know where the level they went to. I'm like, no, this is bad.
yeah, no, totally.
So I've gone the other way, whilst you've gone more positive, I've gone more negative. I mean, there's not a whole load we can say about WandaVision other than, like, what the fuck was that? That was pretty, the whole way, like, I was like, this is so weird and interesting. And I did think, if you're not a fan of Marvel stuff, you ain't watching this.
No, totally.
Because the only reason you're watching this is because you're going, I like Marvel stuff, where the hell are they going with this? But you wouldn't sit down there as a casual fan and go, yeah, might as well watch this. Because, like, what the hell is going on? After two episodes, you'd be like, what?
Yeah, you're not going to sit there and watch Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen, like, even after 10 minutes. If you're not in, you're turning that off. You're not watching it. No way.
Oh, of course you are. Yeah. So, they're like I said, they're very much, you're with us or you're not by now.
Totally.
So that's kind of the way forward. So, why don't we then move on to what we've been watching, reading and everything, and discuss from there.
Cool.
I'll start.
Sorry, go on. You go first. I can't even remember when we last had our podcast. Like, I've watched so much stuff.
I've watched so much stuff. I've read so much stuff. But something I did watch, which I've already seen, but it's the first time I've watched it through again, was Joker.
Yeah, so did I.
Watched it through again the other day. And when I first watched it, I wasn't massively impressed by Joker.
What?
And now I've watched it again, I've gone, do you know what? That's a lot better than I remember it was.
Why didn't you like it?
Because because I didn't mind it. I thought he was fantastic, but I felt the story felt it was smarter than it was, if you see what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's like talking about society, but it just kept going, society, you know, society is bad. And I thought, you're saying a lot without really saying much. Like, it's not... I felt Todd Phillips thought he was being deeper than he was, and I didn't think it was all that deep.
Okay.
Watching it again, though, like, sort of knowing what it was, I went, wow, you know, I enjoyed that a lot more and really respect what Joaquin Phoenix did. And it, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I loved it. I've seen it twice now as well, and I loved it. I think he's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Up there with Heath.
He holds it together.
Genuinely. I think up there with Heath.
My dad realised something there. He said he was pretty much in... He's in pretty much every shot of the film, isn't he?
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah, essentially, yeah. You're right, yeah.
I said, no, there was only a few shots I counted, and they were all basically when Bruce Wayne's parents die. Other than that, I think he's in pretty much every shot of the film.
That's cool. That's really cool. That's cool to take on board, But yeah, just I think it's a great movie. I loved it first time, loved it second time I watched it. Yeah, awesome film.
Go on then, something from you then.
We watched a film last night called Alone. Alone? Was it called Alone? Yeah, Alone. Yeah, it was good. I watched it on Amazon. It was really highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes as well, or Tomatoes, wherever you, if you're from across the pond. I think it was rated at 92%. Like a horror sort of thriller. About this girl who's stalked and then eventually kidnapped. I can't really go into too much detail without giving my whole plot of the story away. But yeah, it was pretty good. It was a good film. Would for anyone who's a horror fan, a thriller fan, would definitely highly recommend. 92% on Rotten Tomatoes and came out this year as well. So that's a good film. And a very...
Who directed it?
I honestly couldn't tell you, mate. I couldn't tell you.
Let's have a look. Alone. It's not got any like real stars in it. Quite a small film.
Yeah, the lead actress has done like two or three films, I think.
I do like small films like that when they're really, you know, that good, you know, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes stuff. It's like their real start of their career.
Yeah.
It's good, you know, you can see a lot of careers made sort of
100%,
you know, skyrocket from this.
100%.
Nice. Well, I read Daredevil, Chip Zdarsky's run on Daredevil, the first volume. It started in 2019, I think.
Cool.
I read the first volume, about to read the second. The first volume's fantastic. It's very much sort of like, you know, same old ground treaded with Daredevil, like in his series. But in this, Wilson Fisk is the mayor. He's Daredevil's just come back from injury. It's kind of similar to how he starts in season 3. He's all banged up.
Yeah.
And at the moment, he definitely didn't. But they're saying Daredevil accidentally killed a man. He's accidentally punched him. He's punched him. He's hit his head and died.
He's done what Robert Pattinson's Batman's gonna do to like every single villain he comes into contact.
Yeah.
With. Yeah.
So he's dealing with that. Going to church, trying to repent his sins. There's a detective who hates vigilantes who's going after him. Daredevil meets up with Frank Castle,
cool.
Gets into a scrap with him, and essentially at the end of that comic, Wilson Fisk is controlling all the underground whilst also being the mayor, and the Matt Murdock's priest basically says, you know, you enjoy violence, so you got to give it up. So now he's retired as Daredevil, and now it's starting up that this detective is going after Wilson Fisk for some reason, we don't know why, and he hates vigilantes. Matt Murdock's trying to get on with his life whilst Wilson Fisk is breaking up his crime empire to then just be the mayor. It's a good run, but it's like very much kind of like, you know, same ground that's treaded before.
Yeah, of course.
But but if you like that type of story about Matt Murdock, then yeah, it's definitely a good read.
Cool. Sounds good. Funnily enough, the Daredevil comics are some of the only few comics I've actually really ever sat down and read. I've read The Man Without Fear, and I've also read Born Again, which are both phenomenal, phenomenal novels. Yeah,
they're very good because, like, I imagine, like for yourself, where you prefer the much more grittier, down to earth kind of stories, and they're perfect, and they're much more heartfelt stories. You know, it's him dealing with religion and sins, and you know, dealing with his own mortality compared to someone like, you know, Superman. It's very,
of course,
you know, galaxy wide and stuff like that. There's not a lot of groundness in it, but yeah, Daredevil was very good for that, yeah. To actually get in a nitty gritty of what it's like to be
100%
superhero 100%. And stuff like that. Yeah. Anything else from you?
I can't remember if I said this on the podcast, because I can't remember the last time we actually did a podcast together. But
just before Christmas.
Okay, so I wouldn't have said this. I've definitely told you, though, I finally sat down and rewatched Watchmen. And
no, I feel like you did say this on a podcast.
Oh, I did. Okay. And I watched the director's cut as well.
Jesus. How long was that? 3.5 hours?
3 hours 45 or something.
Oh my god, no, I can't subject myself to
it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. That's a complete lie. It wasn't really good.
Yeah, you're lying to me.
But it was much better than I remember it being. I thought the last hour of the film was a bit all over the place, but up to the point where they break what's the guy out of prison? What's his name? Jekyll-y, what's his name?
Rorschach.
Yeah. Up to that point, I mean, and the breakout scene, I think the film is top level. Very good.
Really?
Yeah, very, very good. And then the last hour, I think, is a bit shocking. Shit.
It's funny. I'm always go back and forth with that film.
Yeah.
Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I absolutely loathe it.
Yeah.
I think it's all the slow-mo. That's what I hate.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see why you wouldn't like
it. I hate the bloody slow-mo. Yeah, it's... the first time I ever watched Watchmen, I went, wow, what a film. And then I watched it again, and I went, my God. What an awful film. And then, like, now I'm kind of teetering in the middle with it all.
I think it's better than anything else Snyder's done in the DC universe.
Yeah, it's his best DC film, yeah, I'll give you
it's
that.
It's better than Man of Steel, I think. It's better than BVS. It's better than we haven't seen his Justice League yet, have we, technically, but... But yeah,
most films are better than BVS, though, so...
Well, you know, BVS has a warm place in my heart.
Awful film.
I love Batman. I just love Batman and BVS. I know the film's not good, but I love Affleck's Batman. That's another film I watched, actually. Speaking of another film I watched, which if you haven't seen, I would highly recommend you to watch. I watched The Town with Ben Affleck.
Yes, I've seen The Town, Ben Affleck. Yeah, he directed that.
Awesome movie.
Very good film. Very good film. It's got Jeremy Renner in it, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does. It has Jeremy Renner in it as well, yeah. Really, really good film. Really, really enjoyed that, actually. Yeah.
Yes, I enjoyed The Town a lot. He's, you know, he's directed some very good films.
Yeah, Argo as well, right? He won Best Director for that, didn't he? Yeah.
I don't think he did.
He was nominated, sorry.
He was nominated for Best Picture.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Binge Series 3 in about 4 days. Everyone on Twitter loved it. I was very indifferent towards it. It's catching up on me that this is like real teenage stuff.
Yep.
But you know, it's an easy watch. I love The Karate Kid. It's one of my favorite films. So I've watched all three series now. I think this was the weakest series, okay. But a lot of people online are saying this is the best series, so evidently I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Which I will happily accept.
Yep, I would. Yeah.
So, but you've never watched Cobra Kai, have you?
Never watched an episode of it, no.
It's not even something that interests you, is it?
Unless Vincent D'Onofrio is in it, smashing the shit out of a kid, I'm not really bothered about it, mate.
Yeah, well, that's the dream, that he smashes Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
We will see it one day. The fans demand it. We will see it.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. What else from you then? Go on, it must be something else from you.
I don't know. I've seen so much, but my mind has gone blank. I can't think of anything.
Well, it's okay. The good thing is, hold some back, because then when we do another episode, you can use it on that.
It's a very, very good
idea. I'll tell you what, there's something else for me. I played Spider-Man Miles Morales.
What'd you think of it?
It's good. It's basically Spider-Man again.
Okay.
It's the same sort of gameplay, which of course it is Spider-Man. A few, you know, different things. He's got his like Venom punch, and you know, you can go invisible. Other than that, it's very similar to Spider-Man, and it's quite short.
Okay.
Only took me about 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours of gameplay to complete it.
Oh, wow.
Maybe about five hours took. Really didn't take me long. So yeah, that was a bit of a shame. It's more like a DLC.
Yeah.
Than an actual game. But if you enjoy Spider-Man, you'll enjoy this.
Who's the main villain in it? The Prowler?
No, he is in it. The main villain... the Tinkerer.
Tinkerer is the main villain in it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but it's a real different version of the Tinkerer.
Okay, cool.
Not the version, yeah. It's a decent story, decent gameplay. It's sadly like last game, just not as much.
Okay, cool.
What I did appreciate, they got rid of like the puzzles and shit like that that was in the first game. I fucking hated those.
What puzzles? I'm trying to think now. What puzzles are in the first game?
Like you had to like connect like all the like on the screen,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
connect,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
connect
yeah,
electricity
yeah.
up. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, what is this?
That
shit?
That was,
and when you're playing, and you play as Mary Jane sometimes.
Yeah, fuck that.
I hated that. There's none of that. It's very much just Spider-Man. Just off you go.
Cool, cool.
So, yeah.
I've actually played a game as well. I started playing Resident Evil 3. They remastered it.
Oh yes, I heard that wasn't quite as good as when they did number 2.
Yeah.
Apparently that was incredible.
2 is excellent. 3 is good, but it's very short. Again, it's a very short game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. I'd recommend it if you're a Resident Evil fan. Would definitely recommend it. Yeah, it's cool.
Great. I've also started playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's good. It is good. It's not great, but it's fine. I'm more interested just doing it for the story so I understand more what's happening in Star Wars. The character is good. There's too much just running and puzzles to solve, and I hate puzzles in games. I just, you know, I just want to do the action stuff. There's too much trying to solve how to navigate. Like, the maps aren't easy. The maps are puzzles to get around. Like, you've got to jump on walls. You've got to know which walls to jump to or you'll fall. And I don't like that. I just want to run, take on some people.
Totally.
Yeah, because it basically what it is, you go to a planet. You have to get, you know, jump around correctly. Then you'll come up against some animals you've got to kill. And then you'll get to the final boss. And then that's kind of it. Like, that's kind of the gameplay. So, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but it's mostly for the story.
You got a PS5, haven't you, now?
I have a PlayStation 5,
you
yes.
Enjoy,
I'm kitted
you
out.
Enjoying it?
Yes, I enjoy my PlayStation 5. I feel like I might have gotten it a little bit too early, though, because there's not enough games out for it yet.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I'm waiting a little bit longer.
I think that's the show, then.
Yeah.
I think that's everything, isn't
yeah.
it? So you can follow us at What's the Topic on Twitter. Follow Luke at Luke Fiarca and me at Jasper_Reviews. And that's kind of the show. So
cool.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.